Hello, lovers.
My name is Alex.
And I'm Helena.
And you are listening to Generation Loveless,
a weekly podcast where we discuss the trials and tribulations of love in an internet-obsessed world.
We share our stories of bad Tinder dates, sexual awakenings, self-care, heartbreak and healing, and everything in between. So join us on this roller coaster of dating in the millennial age because it is one wild ride.
And we want to hear from you. Send us your stories, questions, and opinions. You can either send us a DM on Instagram at generation.loveless or shoot us an email at generationloveless@gmail.com. All right, let's dive into this week's episode. In the car, I just can't wait to pick you up on our very first date. Is it cool if I hold your hand? Is it wrong if you think it's lame to dance?
Yeah. There we go.
There we go.
Let's go. Maybe this first date could suck.
Generation Loveless. Let's make it last forever. I don't know. I'm trying to make that work. It's just not.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. This episode is about the first date. If you couldn't tell from our Blink-182 intro, that was probably a shit show, but welcome back.
Welcome back.
Today we are talking about the first date.
The first date, Helena. Don't you love going on first dates?
Yes.
No, but actually, how do you feel about first dates?
Love hate.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's such a nerve wracking experience. Personally, Alex is laughing. What?
I don't know.
Just laughing.
I'm just giggling. You guys, it's giggles day.
It really is, for some reason.
Okay.
Where should... I'll wait.
I don't know. It just has happened.
I know. I get it. It could be a good time to go to Dunkin' Donuts. Unless you get your shit together.
Okay. How do you feel about the first date?
Oh, okay. Ask me one more time.
Oh my god. How do you feel about the first date?
Well, I don't know. It's a love-hate. I mean, it's such a nerve-wracking experience. I get so fucking nervous before dates. Sometimes I feel physically ill. And it takes me a good 15 to 20 minutes once the date starts to get out of that anxiety, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that happens to me sometimes.
Yeah, the first portion of the date, I'm usually talking so fast and not making any sense. I remember going on a first date once and I was really into the guy, and so I just could not think straight. I started talking about my mom's rental car.
Oh my god.
It didn't come up, Alex. I just brought it up out of thin air because I just could not think straight. And I don't know, I was like, oh, yeah, my mom has a rental car right now. And he was like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah, it's not really a nice car, but her car normally is a sports car. It's like a really nice car. And I don't know, they just gave her this like shitty rental car. And like, that's not indicative of what my mom's car normally is.
I wonder what he was thinking as you were spitting this information out.
We talked about it in later weeks, and he said that he was so nervous, too, that he was actually glad I couldn't stop talking because he couldn't talk.
Oh, good.
So we evened each other out.
That's hilarious, honestly.
I mean, sometimes it works out well in that regard, but yeah, it was definitely a boring fucking topic for me to bring up, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like first dates can go really well or...
really not well.
Really awkward.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What's your experience with first dates?
Well, I've had some good first dates, but I've also had some really bad first dates. And sometimes I'm really anxious and sometimes I'm not.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it totally depends the way I'm, like, walking into it. I don't know. I can't control.
Like, physically walking into it or mentality-wise?
Sometimes I'm skipping. Sometimes I'm sprinting.
Just imagine you skipping into Exploratoire. Exploratory is a place that Alex brings her dates sometimes near our school.
Always. It's just, like, the most convenient place for me. I like to bring my dates to the most convenient
place.
That's,
like, place me and Lolita.
So you can leave if you want to leave. I go to the comfort of your home.
I took so many dates this past year to the bar in my building. And it would be funny, too, because they'd be waiting outside for me, and then they just see me walk out of the building, and they're like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh, yeah, I live here.
I love that. Well, I can tell you about this first date that I actually wasn't feeling that anxious, but it was so...
So what?
It was so bad, because he blew it right in the beginning.
What did he do?
Okay, so we're going to get coffee, which costs, like, $3.17, yeah. Maybe? Yeah. So we went to go get coffee, and I was in line ahead of him, and I ordered first. And I don't know. I don't want to, like, play into gender roles, but I fucking was playing into gender roles.
I don't want to play into gender roles, but watch
however,
play into gender roles.
With, I don't know, I guess I do have this, like, subtle expectation if I'm going on a date with a guy. I don't expect him to, like, buy me dinner, but it's a fucking cup of coffee, and I just feel like generosity, I don't know, shows a lot of who the person is. And anyways, I'm standing in line, I order my coffee, and I'm kind of waiting for him to order, and the cashier awkwardly is like, are you guys together? And my date was like, oh, no, we're separate. And it was just so weird. I was like, okay, dude, like, I don't know, are you even that into this date? Like, it just, the whole setting of the date was ruined, and I knew I didn't want to see him after that. And that one moment honestly was telling of his personality. Like, I didn't have chemistry with him. I didn't connect with him on a lot of interest. There was nothing there. And what was interesting, when I texted him later that day, I said, you know, thank you for the date, but I'm actually not interested. I don't think we had a lot of chemistry. That's what I said. And his response was that he was first thanking me for being honest and upfront. Huh. Also telling listeners out there to be that way.
Yeah.
But after he thanked me, he said, you know, that's really a bummer because I thought we had a lot of chemistry. And I was like,
are you kidding me?
So,
okay.
Anyways, okay, that's a bad first date for me.
I just want to, I actually, even though we have to get into the main of this episode, I just want to talk about this for
the
a second.
Meat.
The meat. What about same-sex dates? Because that's the only
thank
thing I'm thinking to myself, okay, I kind of understand why you feel that way, but also, if you're going on a date with a girl, who do you expect to pay?
Right, or if gender's just, like, not there.
Because I don't think of it that way, actually. I have always thought of it as whoever asked the person to hang out is the one who... If you invited someone to dinner, you should pay because you invited them.
Right.
And then I, in past relationships and past dates, I'm very... giving with money.
I am too, actually. And when I do think about dates that I had with other girls, it was very even. Like, I think the rules probably did apply of, like, if so-and-so had asked me on a date and I went with her, she was the one that ended up paying for the dinner.
Yeah.
But then I would continue seeing that person, and then I would like to take them out next.
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit unfair, especially when both people in a heterosexual situation are working, neither person is necessarily more well off financially than the other. It's pretty unfair if the guy is always paying.
Oh yeah, I don't think it should go like that. It's just a first impression, first date kind of thing.
Did he ask you on the date?
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah. It's also a fucking coffee.
Exactly. It's a cup of coffee.
Brosif.
So, first date, Selena.
Okay, well, let's get into it. According to psychologist Alice Boys, there are two main goals of a first date. The first is to see if you have a connection, and then the second is to see if you and your date have any major areas of incompatibility. According to Boys, we're wired so that once we start to develop an emotional attachment, this is hard to break away from. Mm. Finding out early on if there are reasons that making it work will be fraught, that's pretty much necessary. Otherwise, you're in for a rocky road.
Yeah, and this is what we actually work on, or we try and do a lot.
You and me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we fucking do. Guys.
Our new rules can help you with this.
Yeah, listen to episode 5. If you were listening to our episode 5 and you're like, yeah, what the fuck do these girls know? Actually, we know a lot. The psychologist just backed us up. So anyways, we agree to these goals, right, Alex?
Yeah, absolutely.
So with these goals in mind, the next question is, what should you talk about on the first date? And there are kind of two schools of thought here, and I just want to briefly talk about them and then see if we can sort of come to a consensus as to what we agree with. The first school of thought that I want to mention is getting real and vulnerable on the first date. There was a famous study, you guys might have heard of it, conducted by psychologist Arthur Aaron and associates, because I don't feel like reading all their names. What the authors of the study said is one key pattern associated with the development of a close relationship among peers is sustained, escalating, reciprocal, personalistic self-disclosure. And I know that sort of sounds like a mouthful, but essentially what is being said is that in order for a friendship or romantic relationship to grow and develop, both parties need to be sharing personal stuff with one another. Obviously, I think. Yeah. And also that sharing needs to get deeper over time, or to escalate, as they said. So what the authors of the study aimed to do was to manipulate this type of self-disclosure between strangers. Their aim was to create feelings of interconnectedness or of self and other, aka intimacy. Mm-hmm. Also, Arthur Aaron has mentioned that he really wanted to see if he could basically manipulate two people to fall in love in a lab setting, basically. Dang. Which I'm like, whoa.
Be a cool study to be a part of.
Yeah, seriously. The study authors had pairs of cross-sex strangers ask each other a specific set of personal questions while in a comfortable room together alone. The questions got progressively more intense to probe more vulnerability, and then afterwards, the pair had to stare each other in the eyes silently for 4 minutes. Now, The crazy thing is that two of the participants in this study ended up falling in love and getting married 6 months later.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I know.
If they're together right now.
I know. I don't know, because this was like 20 years ago, so it would be interesting to note. According to the study, participants also reported high ratings of post-experiment closeness and shared stories of the positive impact of the study for months. So according to this school of thought, you should get deep and real on a first date. Also, I do just want to mention there's a really great New York Times essay by Mandy Len Catrone in which she and a friend try this method, and they end up falling in love. So definitely, yeah, did you know about that?
No,
she has a TED Talk on it, too.
Ooh,
yeah,
amazing.
And they, I'll have to watch that. Yeah, they fall in love, and because you can also find the 36 specific questions that went along with this study, they're online, and we could even talk about some of them later.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a website, too, 36 questions to fall in love, so you can do this with a partner. Yeah, so they ended up falling in love, and she sort of became a little bit famous, or viral anyways, from her essay and her TED Talk on that. But, on the other hand, some people ascribe to the mentality that you should keep it kind of surface level on the first date. Mm. And I've definitely heard this sort of advice as well. According to dating coach James Pierce, you should keep conversation very light and fun on the first date. Don't ask why they broke up with their last partner or what is the meaning of life. He says if you keep conversation fun, your date will walk away with a positive impression of you. And, I mean, I guess I do understand what he's saying, and I've heard similar sentiments, especially the whole don't bring up your ex thing on the first
date.
Right,
I've heard that too. That's fair.
I do that every single first date.
And you
I don't, this is why. I'll just tell you my personal philosophy on this, and also, I'm just going to put this out there. I have no idea if this is a good philosophy or not. This is just how I am. I don't like to limit myself in how I, in behavior or in speech. So, for example, if I'm on a first date with someone and we just have that natural chemistry and I want to just self-disclose a lot and I feel like they're sort of reciprocating and then we're getting more intimate and then we want to have sex, I'll do that. I don't make rules for myself.
I don't either. And I actually, so this is what I feel about this.
Yeah, tell me.
It's not that I totally disagree. However.
With which?
With the second one of staying kind of surface level.
Okay.
I don't totally disagree with that.
Okay.
However, for myself, for my own experiences, that's actually not who I am. That's not part of my character or my personality.
Me neither.
Therefore, I shouldn't limit myself, go on a first date with someone, be surface level and not get, I mean, I don't know. I don't always, for example, bring up, you know, or ask this person who their exes are and when they broke up and their dating history. That being said, I also really work hard to just be myself, and if certain stories, experiences come up in conversation that are pretty personal,
yeah,
I do not hold back. And I think this actually goes along with just compatibility, because
true,
some people are more empathetic, sensitive, whatever.
Me.
Exactly.
Us.
Same.
Yeah.
And so we should probably, it might be better if we end up with people or are dating
similar
people that are compatible in that way. And then there are other people who aren't like that.
That's true as well.
So maybe it's just a compatibility.
Well, I don't think so, though, because according to this study, anyways, one of his preliminary things that he did before before setting the people up, was he made sure that they agreed on major life issues. So they were compatible in that sense. So maybe political parties or whatever. And then he also primed each of them to think that the other person liked them or was going to like them beforehand. And then they got in together. But he didn't necessarily choose only sensitive people like us.
Right.
And this study had positive impacts on almost everyone.
Right.
I think actually what it is that some people, maybe they had trauma in their life, maybe they're naturally very shy, or maybe toxic masculinity plays a part in, at least for guys.
Yeah.
I think it's more so that people have a hard time being vulnerable. I don't think it's that people don't crave that on a very deep level. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't totally have to do with personality.
Exactly. That's what I think. That being said, I have an interesting story. I don't think I've talked about this on the pod yet, have I?
No.
Because it's sort of, I don't know if this is the right word, but I kind of feel like he exploited my empathy and sensitivity and just desire to get deep.
Yeah, this was fucked up.
This was weird as fuck, honestly. So, okay, I met this guy on Tinder. He was this German boy. Basically, I went on a date with him. He seemed really hot. He kind of had that bad boy thing going for him. And also, I'm just a sucker for accents and foreigners. So there was that. But we went on two dates. And on the second date, I felt like we were not really getting to that kind of good, juicy, deep, vulnerable stuff. What we're just talking about right now. Which is what I seriously, seriously crave. And I asked him about his childhood. Whether or not he was close to his family. What his life struggles had been. I just kind of probed him to get real with me, you know? Yeah. Because he was keeping it very, you know when someone is just talking like a player? They just have all the right things to say.
Oh, yeah. All the time. Like, everything's so smooth. Everything's but it's so like, smooth. Cut the shit. I just want to know who you are.
Maybe that impressed me when I was 16. I don't give a fuck. You can be awkward and weird and real with me.
That's
more attractive to me.
Same.
And anyways, he actually ended up opening up to me about some stuff. He told me that he had struggled with addiction and he had a rough childhood. And I guess that I felt this false sense of closeness in that moment because I thought he was being real with me. And I was like, oh, this is so nice. I'm kind of getting to his shell.
Right.
And, or getting inside his shell, I should say.
Yeah.
And we ended up, And so we ended up hooking up that night and it was fun and all of that. But then the next day, I'm talking to my friend on the phone and she wants to see a picture of him. So I go to his Tinder bio or his Tinder profile, and I notice that he changed his bio from when we had first met, like not that long ago, maybe a week previous. And it now said, "Ask me about my rough childhood and I'll buy you a beer."
Ew. That's so
he changed it the next day to manipulate something that I said in order to get him more girls. It was almost like he was in that situation with me and he was observing my reactions and then us hooking up and saying, oh, this works on girls. Maybe I should use this now.
That's so fucking weird. But what's weird is that he put that in his profile. I don't really understand what his motivation, because it's not like there's a joke behind that. Ask me about my rough childhood.
When you say that, you mean that you don't think that that's actually going
to... Well, I'm like, there's some seriousness to that, but he's also making a joke, and that's where I don't understand his motivation in putting this back in his profile.
I didn't understand either, and I called him out on it. I was like, hey, dude, why'd you change your bio?
What did he say?
I didn't, babe. Like, yeah, he was also calling me babe and all this weird, shit, but I was like, oh, he's German, maybe. I don't know. He also, I'm gonna just call him out. If you guys have listened to episode 3, you'll know how I feel about oral sex and the clit and all that good. And I said to him, hey, can you go down on me? Can you go down on me? The first time we hooked up twice. And he went down on me, but he just, like, clearly didn't know what he was doing. And he spent 2 seconds. And he was just uncomfortable, and I was kind of... I was just like, okay.
It wasn't working.
He wasn't hitting the spot, and I don't know. It was awkward. And then the next day when we were talking... I asked him about it. I was just saying, do you like going down on girls? Is just not something... He was in a 5-year relationship. He had told me that. And I asked, do you ever go down on her? And he was like, no, she didn't like that. I always am skeptical when girls say...
I know.
I'm sorry. It's not my place to tell other women what they should not or should not like.
Yeah, but it's hard not to judge that is just coming from an insecurity.
Yeah, or internalized misogyny, honestly.
Yeah.
And so... I said, well, that's the only thing that gets me off, so. And he was like, not every girl needs that to get off. I'm like, yeah, but most.
Like, yeah, well, guess what? That doesn't matter right now. What matters is me getting off.
Yeah, and so he was like, then he made a joke. He goes, sometimes I like to go down into the fish market.
Ew, fuck him. Fuck
you. I wanted to vomit.
That's really gross
and
annoying.
I told you about that, didn't I?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's so annoying.
That's also misogyny.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is.
Okay, so I actually want to ask you a few questions about first dates. First of all, what was the worst first date you've been on?
Okay. Should I answer that right now?
Yeah, tell me.
The worst first date I've been on, and I feel like I've been on a few bad ones, but the one that's popping into my mind right now is when I lived in San Diego, I went on a date with this guy in the Navy, and he took me to Coronado. If you guys are familiar with San Diego, Coronado's kind of an island off of San Diego, but there's a bridge you can get to it by. And it was a bit far from where I was. It was a good 25 to 30 minutes. So we were kind of way out there.
You're like in the date.
Yeah, exactly.
To leave.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And he was the one who drove me in his truck. So I was kind of isolated. Mm-hmm. But he basically said to me, hey, Helena, this is maybe 10 minutes into the date. He said, hey, Helena, can you do me a favor? First of all, right when he said that, I knew whatever was coming was not going to be good, and I was not going to be happy about it. He goes, I said, yeah, okay, what's that favor? And he goes, next time we hang out, because I want to take you to the gym, and then I want to go swimming with you, and I want to do all these fun things with you, just don't wear any makeup.
And what? I'm sorry, who's in charge of your body and what you do with it and how you present yourself?
That's what I said to him. I said, oh, so you've known me for 1 minute, bro. Maybe a week. And you think that you can tell me what to do with my face.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And he goes, no, don't get offended. That I just want to see your beautiful freckles and your beautiful face and, you know, do all these activities with you. If you're wearing makeup, then, you know, you can't go swimming and all of that. I went radio silent. And we went into this restaurant, because we were walking to the restaurant when he said this. We went in this restaurant, and he said, do you want anything? And I said, no. And then he buys me stuff anyways. We go and sit outside as he eats. He stares at me in silence. He says, how can I make this better? How can I make this
date better? So he knew he had done something wrong.
But I ended up saying, can you just drive me home?
Nice.
And eventually we get back in the car or the truck, and the whole way home we fought. I said, I just don't think we're compatible. I just don't think we have the same values in life. I said, what do you think about feminism? Oh, I'm not a feminist.
This is where it went.
I just knew. I mean, of course, if a guy is telling you not to wear makeup on a first date, you know he is just not enlightened and is probably he's obviously controlling.
Control freak.
Yeah, it was bad, but I actually have another really crazy first date.
Tell me.
I'll just briefly mention it. So I was living in New York for a little while, but like outside of New York. Do you know the state?
Yeah, like the maybe borderline sociopath?
No, not even that one.
Oh,
so
okay.
Basically, I was new on the campus. I just went to the school for a semester in Long Island. I hated it. But there was this guy who had just graduated, and I kept seeing him around campus, and I thought he was really cute at the time for some reason, unbeknownst to me now. Probably just being 18 and not knowing shit. And he was from Manhattan. And so he was like, Helena, why don't you come into the city and we can go to Central Park. We can feed the ducks
feed
or whatever.
The ducks.
Yeah.
Eye roll.
And yeah, I know. I know. And do all these cool, cute New York things that reminded me of Gossip Girl. So I thought it was really cool.
God.
So I took the train in and he meets me there. And then he says to me, okay, Helena, we're going to meet my girlfriend back at my parents' apartment.
What?
And I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't say anything. I think I was scared. I was in a city that I didn't really know how to navigate. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? We go meet up with his girlfriend, who looks exactly like me. She's about 5'7", with blonde hair, blue eyes.
So was this a date?
Tell me more. Well, it was interesting, too, because then we went to his family's apartment on the Upper West Side, and it was huge too. They obviously have a lot of money, and his dad was Irish, interestingly enough. I have an Irish dad also, so shout out. And his mom was Israeli, and it was some sort of Jewish holiday. So they, I had dinner with, okay, so then we sat down to dinner with his mom, dad, the his girlfriend, me.
So who and did, then, go ahead, sorry.
And then it was a Jewish holiday, so his mom is saying to me, Helena, do you want to read a Jewish prayer? I have no idea what's going on. I'm texting my mom. I'm like, Mom, I don't
know. Yeah, you're like, how did I even get in this situation? I don't know.
I had no idea how I got in this situation. And then afterwards, we went out for a walk, and he had his arms around both of us. And he goes, I'm so lucky that I'm here with two beautiful girls.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I want to know, did his girlfriend know that he was...
Yeah, she
like,
had
are
to
they in an open relationship?
They had to have been,
much?
But they didn't tell me that.
Also, what the fuck do their parents think? Or was his parents cool about...
His parents treated him like he was 5 years old.
Weird.
It was the strangest...
Like, did they know that, like, you were a date and that was the girlfriend and you were both there and it was just all happening?
No
idea.
No idea.
That is so bizarre and uncomfortable. I can't believe you've never told me this story.
I thought I had. I have so many crazy dating stories. And then they took the train back with me, and so they're sitting across from me, and I get a text from him. We're not really talking at this point because it was a crazy hours-long date. We're not really talking. And I get a text from him... That's just a wink.
And he's sitting across from
me. Yeah, and he looks up at me, and I'm just dying. I'm just dying.
Yeah.
Then they walk me to my dorm, and they say, okay, Helena, do you want to get breakfast tomorrow morning?
What?
I just wanted to die a little bit.
Yeah.
No one told me what was going on, and I think that I wasn't even educated or informed about open relationships, polyamory. I had no idea that was a thing.
Right.
And it's not like they asked me or told me explicitly.
Or communicated with you. So that's not, you know, your fault for not having the proper education
exactly,
or whatever.
Exactly.
That's just a really bizarre situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't know if that's the word. But you know what, Alex? The first story that I told was really bad because I just hated him. But the second story, I'm kind of glad it happened because I love weird stories like that.
Yeah.
For my book that I'm publishing later. What about you?
Bad first dates. Well, I did. Okay, so I'm someone who, like I've said, I like to go deep because I just want to get to know you.
Yeah.
That's all I really care about. So do not take me on this crazy ass activity type of date. I know some people are into that and that's really cool. Live your life, do your thing. However, I don't care what we're doing. If we're sitting across from each other drinking coffee or eating some food. Like, I don't really care what we do.
Yeah.
I really just want to get to know you. That being said, this person had told me that he had two surprises for me on this date. And I was like,
what? I already hate that.
I know. And I was like, I don't know you. You don't know who I am. He knew me from, like, a distance. It was kind of, it was like a friend of a friend
a
friend. So he didn't know me that well, but I felt like he was trying to gather as much information as he could from other people that knew me, which is also just made me feel a little bit uncomfortable, especially because I don't think he was getting proper information since he planned two surprises, because anyone that knows me really well knows that I hate surprises. I hate that kind
especially
of thing.
Especially surprises from someone who doesn't know you.
Exactly.
How can you surprise someone? You don't even know what would be a good surprise for them.
Right.
That's so fucking dumb.
I had to meet him downtown in Maine. Downtown Portland, Maine. And we went to a paint bar. Do you know what those are?
Yeah.
So you, like, you
just
know.
Just kill me now.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
like, terrible music that I, like, bad music, like, the
people
head and the heart.
Wine and...
People drinking wine and, like, listening to this dude talk about, like, this line that you now need to draw in the middle of the page.
I just
and then
die.
Yeah, it was terrible. And it was so awkward because I also couldn't, like, talk to him very easily because I had to wait until the instructor stopped talking and when the music wasn't, like, blasting, because that's a thing that they did. So it was so fucking awkward. It was terrible. The person next to me was proposed to. And at a paint bar.
Imagine if that was your proposal at paint
not
bar.
Not me, not my thing.
The fuck?
But what made it weird is that he just looked at me and he was like, well, that's a coincidence. And so I died even further because I could tell he was really into whatever was going on. Yeah.
What does that mean, that's a coincidence? A coincidence
I
is
think
that he's
he was
also
like,
going to propose to you?
Well, I just think he was like, oh, wow, look, it's us on a date and someone next to us gets proposed
to.
It's
not a coincidence, though. That's the wrong use of that word.
Well, I wanted to die.
Yeah.
And
yeah, rightfully so.
And then after that, the second surprise was that he wanted to take me to, like, the fanciest, most expensive restaurant in Portland. And I get where he's coming from or where people are I guess, think that's, like, very romantic or this or that, but that just makes me uncomfortable, especially when I don't know you.
Like, people like that don't understand that romance, true romance, is about connecting.
Yeah, it's not about the most expensive thing, or the diamond ring, or the flowers.
I feel like
the
roses. Yeah, I know.
I'm singing some sort of song.
Yeah, you could be in a room with blank walls. Yeah. If you're with the right person, that's fucking romance.
Exactly. And so what's kind of hilarious, though, this date ended in me. We, like, didn't make it to our reservation, and he was kind of like, oh, no, what do we do? And I knew exactly what to do because I have plenty of friends that work in the restaurant industry, so I took him to one of my best friend's restaurants.
Yeah.
Who was working, and...
to save you.
Yeah, pretty much, and I was just running into the bathroom with her and to the kitchen.
Didn't you sleep with him?
Yes!
Alex, didn't, no!
Yeah, I know, it didn't quite end there. That was awky, though. I just really... wanted some, and
yeah, you were
he was
a
physically
rush.
Attractive fish.
He's kind of sleazy, if in my opinion, but
yeah,
Alex and I have different types.
Yeah, I think, like, he just came on to me. Well, whatever, he started making out with me, and I was like, okay, well, you're, like, a good kisser. I do have to say, though, actually,
tell me,
the sex part was really good. So what happened is I was like, oh god, this is going where this is going. We start making out, and then, you know, it was basically like, okay, let's, like, go back to your apartment and have sex now, since we're both just really physically heated up.
Yeah.
And, like, he got me off in, like, 20 seconds.
With oral?
Yeah, he went down on me, and it was...
Yeah. I mean, if you push the button. You know how to push the button, then you're gonna...
He knew how to push the button.
That's the thing about sex.
That's right. But the emotional connection wasn't there, so it actually doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and it also feels gross afterwards, because you can get off by anyone, really, but then afterwards be like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, also, we are, like, 32 minutes into this.
I know, sorry, I guess we have to cut it off, but that was interesting. And I think, what's our conclusion? That we think you should get real on the first date, obviously.
That's how I roll, that's how you roll.
Yeah, it is.
I think that's how everyone should roll.
Me too, and the people that I like the most, that I'm the most attracted to, are the ones who get super vulnerable with me.
Yeah, and I just want to add too, it's not like you go on a first date with someone and you're like, all of this, like, tragic stuff has happened to me, or this is all of my bad, whatever. It's not quite like that. It's just an effortless conversation. And when things that do come up that are personal, you're able to just be yourself and talk about who you are.
Well, it's important, too, going back to what the study said, it was reciprocal escalating. I think that's important. Yeah. Both people have to be self-disclosing to the same extent, getting more comfortable over time. That's very much what happened in our friendship.
Yeah.
It's not like right away we were like, hey, we both have mental health problems. I'm in recovery for an eating disorder. You're sober. Let's be best friends.
Right. Exactly.
But eventually that's kind of... And then you told me more, I told you more.
Right.
Now we're best friends.
Best
And we have friends. A podcast.
Here we are, running long on this podcast.
Okay,
we're going to go
guys,
now.
We'll go. Love you so much.
Love you.